much for that beautiful rendition again. That song captured our message for this morning, and I pray that God will continue to give you insight like that in Jesus' name. Like I said earlier, this month has been titled Faithful Stewardship. We took our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For those who weren't here when the Bible reading was being taken, but just turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. That is where I will be reading this morning. And I will be talking on understanding kingdom stewardship. We just want to lay a foundation before we go into faithful steward subsequently. Understanding kingdom stewardship. Understanding kingdom stewardship. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 15. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." To dress it and to keep it. Give us NLT. Let's read it from NLT. The Lord took the man that he has made and put him into the garden that he, God, has made, and instructed the man to tend and to watch over it, to dress it and to care for it. To care for it. To care for it. God was the creator, is the creator of man. God also made the garden. And the man he created, he took him and placed him in the garden that he has made and instructed him to do what? To take care of the garden. To watch over the garden. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. That is a picture of what stewardship is all about. That's just a picture of what it's all about. The Lord placed the man in the garden. And when you read the subsequent verses, God made the man from the ground, breathed into him, he became a living being. So man is a creature of God. And as a creature of God, he belongs to God. And God took this man and went to the garden that he has finished making in Genesis chapter 1 and placed the man in the garden of Eden and gave him an instruction. Tend the garden. You know, if you read here, the instruction looks very brief in Genesis 2 verse 15. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read from verse 27 down to 30, you see the full instruction that God gave to the man. He said, "And God blessed him, and God told the man, be fruitful and multiply. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So that's the instruction God gave to man. What has this got to do with our discussion this morning? We're soon going to see that. Understanding kingdom stewardship. Let's start by defining some terms, because it's a teaching, not really preaching per se. A steward is someone that manages on behalf of another. That's who a steward is. Someone that manages on behalf of another is a steward. For example, you have a business and you are not in that business place. You hire somebody to take care of the business. That person is what? A steward. Every one of us, or majority of us seated here, are stewards of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. That is why we live wherever we are, and we are here. We are stewards. We are stewards. So that's who a steward is. Someone that manages another person's resources, including finances, is a steward. Is a steward. Who then is a kingdom steward? But before we go that, a steward can also be seen as a caretaker, an overseer, a manager. a manager, a caretaker, an overseer, a manager. That's who a steward is. So who is a kingdom steward? Or what is kingdom stewardship? So stewardship or kingdom steward or a steward in the kingdom of God has to do with managing God's resources. Managing God's resources or God's blessing, God's way for God's glory. That's the simplest definition, so that everybody can live here with the definition. Managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. If you heard me, say amen. I cannot hear you. Managing God's blessing. Whose way? Whose way? For what purpose? For God's glory. A steward does not manage the resources his own way. He follows the guidelines of the owner. Anytime a steward leaves the guideline of the owner, he is going into error. Why? Because he's not the owner. If the owner said, "This is how I want you to run my business," you need to follow the guidelines of the owner. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. There's a place I managed. And one day I went to see the people working there. And then they told me that somebody came to do something. And on their own, they subsidize for the person without my consent. And then I asked the fellow, I said, "Who asked you to subsidize?" He said, "Sir, the person was begging." I said, "No, it's not about the begging. The question is, were you instructed to subsidize when somebody begs?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "The money will come out from your salary." Now, why? Because he did not follow the what? The guideline. He did it out of what? There are a lot of things you can do out of pity, but you are wrong. You don't do out of pity, you do according to the guidelines. If this is what the guideline says, that is what should be done. If you are hearing me, say amen. Amen. So a steward must follow the guidelines of the owner. Stewardship is God's ordained platform for man to partner with him in administrating that which God has created. That is why when he made man, he placed him in the garden and asked man to manage what he has created. Every one of us here is a steward in different capacity. But we are talking about kingdom stewardship. Stewardship in the kingdom of God. Like I said, I don't want to take long today. I want to be very, very brief. If you must be a good kingdom steward, there are things you must understand. And I call them the four pillars of kingdom stewardship. Four pillars of kingdom stewardship. And I want to share them with us very quickly. Four pillars of kingdom stewardship. Until you have an understanding of these four pillars, you cannot be a faithful and a good steward. You can't. There are a lot of people, when you call them to manage your resources or to manage a thing for you, they take over. But we have to get an understanding of what truly stewardship is. And if we as a people and as a church and as individuals, we are actually stewards of God, or we are masters of ourselves. Number one pillar of kingdom stewardship is that you must have the understanding that God is the maker of all things. That's the first pillar. God is the maker of all things. All things. God made it all. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. Understand that God created everything. everything, and that understanding is the first pillar in kingdom stewardship. He said, thus said the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things. All things. He is the maker of all things. Number two, pillar of kingdom stewardship. God is the owner of all things. He is not just the creator of all things. He is also the owner of all things. It's one thing to know God as a creator. It's another thing to understand that he is the owner. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Who created the car? It's a company, ba? It's a company. But the car I am driving, is it the company that owns it? Who owns it? Me. So these are two different things. So you can say God is a creator, but deny the fact that he is the owner. So it's one thing to know that God is a creator, the maker of all things. But we must also come to the understanding that God is the owner of all things. He's the owner of all things. Man does not own anything. You see, why will you say that? But that's the truth. Man doesn't own anything. Yes, God must have given man the wisdom to create a lot of things. But even those things belong to who? Ah, you cannot sleep on me this morning. I said those things belong to who? They belong to God. They belong to God. Everything belongs to him. Your wealth, your riches, your money in the bank, your business, your life, your intellect, your strength, all belongs to God. He is the owner of all things. You say, where is that in the Bible? Is there? I will show you. Maybe we should start from Psalm 24 verse 1, right? You say, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness, give us KJV please. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The earth belongs to God. The fullness is of God. The world, what is the world? Everything that is existing in this earth is God's. If you are with me again, say amen. Amen. It's God's. Bro, Chuk, your wife belongs to God. You belong to God. Everything you own belongs to God. And sometimes you hear people say, now my life, I go do anything when I please. You know, get her. Since Sister Simo will speak Pidgin English. Not be your life. It belongs to God. Your body belongs to him. Everything is his. You see, you don't understand how I suffered to get where I am. Hey, hear me. Even the strength you used to suffer belongs to him. If you just pinch the strength small like this, you don't even feel suffer. Turn to somebody, tell somebody, God owns it all. Turn to another parent, tell the parent, God owns it all. It all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I'll be talking more on this divine ownership on Wednesday. When you understand that God owns it all, there are things that will begin to flow in your life. Divine ownership on Wednesday. Please give us Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 14. Let me show us more scriptures. Deuteronomy 10 14. Behold the heaven. And the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. And the earth also with all that therein is of God. All that is in the earth belongs to God. The aircraft belongs to him. Even the witchcraft. They all belong to him. The silver, the gold, the wealth of the earth, all belongs to God. He is the owner of it all. When I was studying and praying, something struck my mind. Especially in that Psalm 24 verse 1, where the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I said, God, you own the earth and everything. It therefore means, Dr. John, do you have a land? You have a house you are renting. It means you are what? Landlord. It's not yours. You are just the steward, the caretaker. But what struck my mind is that if God owns all these things, why then are we laboring to just have a piece of land in FMC to erect a church? FMC belongs to God. And every part of this land is God. We therefore decree that our land is given to us. Amen. We take it back. Amen. We take it back. You know, I'm one person that, if it is laid in my heart, I'm not always scared. Some of you don't know that there are prayers I used to pray here. There are people used to confront me in this center after praying in church and church members. Don't worry, one day I will share with us. As I'm talking now, I know there are people that will confront me again, but I'm okay. At least I've shared one of them with my brother here. He said, why will you pray that prayer? I said, why won't I pray? I am here to pray. If you are not comfortable with the prayer, then it's your business. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He told Joshua, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I have given it to you as what? A possession. He is the one that apportions men, earth. Now, let me do a small finding. Bro Jay, can you stand? Thank you very much. I hope you are not angry that I'm standing you in church. Now, you have a land in the village, right? Good. You inherited it. A family land. Who gave it to you? Your father. Who gave it to your father? Who gave it to his grandfather? His father. Now, if you continue, who gave it to that his father? Are you sure that his father was even living in that your community? Your great-grandfather? Praise the Lord. Now you can see that the person just came. Maybe somebody allocated it to him. But the land was existing before the person arrived. Isn't it? But now the person is fighting and killing people, saying, it's mine. Does it really belong to the fellow? It doesn't. It doesn't belong to the fellow. God is the owner of all things. If you don't mind, preach to somebody by your side again. Tell the person, God owns it all. And God owns you. He owns you. If you go home, you can read Psalm 50 verse 10 to 11. You can take it down. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. I love that one. He said, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, said the Lord. Haggai 2 8. The silver is mine. And in the other scripture, he said that the cattle upon the thousand, he belongs to me. If I am hungry, I know what to do. He is the owner of it all. He is the one that apportions countries, nations, languages, tribes to men. But he owns it all. And hear me, the day he demands it of you, you cannot argue with him. He cannot. Remember that rich guy? Is it in Matthew chapter 12, right? He said, He has cultivated. God has given him the strength. His farm brought so much harvest. And then he looked at his harvest and he said, now I don't arrive. It's not a bad thing to prosper. But the guy attributed all his harvest and his wealth to himself and his strength. He said, my soul, relax and enjoy. And at night, he said, the owner of the soul showed up. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Even if God did not own your wealth, for example, even if God is not the owner of that your car, he's not the owner of that your house, what about your life? And if he owns your life, then he owns everything you have. Somebody is in church, shout hallelujah. Number three pillar that you must understand is that God made man the manager of his resources and not the owner. That's number three pillar. Man is the manager of God's resources. Man is the manager of God's blessings. Man is the manager of God's creation and not the owner.
And not the owner.
He is the steward of God. Husbands, that your wife, God has given her to you to manage. You don't own her. The children, God gave them to you to steward them. You don't own them. You don't own them. So God made man the manager of his blessings, the manager of the resources, and not the owner. So where cometh all this pride, all the boasting? It's because of ignorance that those things don't belong to you. No matter what you acquire on earth, Sama, the day you are going to die, those things become irrelevant. Very, very irrelevant. You hear somebody talking, say, do you know I am a doctor of this? I am a professor of this. Hear me. The day you will die, your professorship is useless. Even your twin brother cannot use it. Cannot use it. Oh, you know who I am? Who are you? God made you a manager to take care of his resources, the blessings he has given to you, the wealth he has committed into your hand, the people he brings your way, the relationship he gives to you. He wants you to steward them for his glory. Remember, a kingdom steward is one that manages God's blessing, God's way, for God's what? God's glory. Number four pillar as we round up this morning. Okay, let me give us some Bibles from scriptures. God made man. We already seen it in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 where we read. And where we took our Bible reading this morning. Can you give us 1 Corinthians chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. He said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, not owners. Stewards, not owners, of the mysteries of God. That healing anointing is not yours. You don't own it. That power, that when you wave your hand, people fall under anointing, you don't own it. Jesus said, when you go, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the leper. Freely you have received, freely give. You are just a steward. Oh, that beautiful voice. Now they are telling you to sing in church. They must beg you. Oh, because you have a skill to play. Now they have to pay you before you play in church. You are joking. You don't even own the skills. You don't own the skills. There are people without hands, and yet they play music for God with their feet. And they don't ask for anybody to give them a dime. And they don't even ask for anybody to pity them. All they want is to glorify God with their lives. They know that whatever God has given to them is their strength, and they will use it to praise God. You've got your hands, you've got your legs, you've got yourself complete, and yet praising God is difficult. Stewards of the mysteries of God. We'll go into that deeper. Number four, God will hold each man accountable for his stewardship. That's the fourth pillar of kingdom stewardship. God will hold each man, each woman, each boy, each girl, each minister, each pastor accountable for his stewardship. He will hold you accountable. He say, hey, I don't concern you. I am not the pastor of the church. Whatever want to happen, let it happen. No! You have a role to play. And God will hold you accountable for that role he has given to you. You that he has given you so much talent and ability, so much grace, he has embedded in you. He has prepared you. And now, you come to church, you sit and cross your leg and look other people do mistake and you laugh. And you go by and say, see what they do. These people, they don't even say what they do. God will hold you to accountable for that unused talent that you're hiding. Like that one we want. We are going to get into that subsequently in the month. But today I just want to lay a foundation. God will hold you accountable. There are people that when the choir is singing, they are editing the songs. They know all the lyrics. They know where they make mistakes. They know the tone that went high and the one that went low. They know the person that did not pronounce the word very well. Say, hey, see that one? He won't spoil the song. Yet, they have not one day joined the choir themselves. God will hold you accountable. He will. He will hold you accountable. There are people sitting down here that can preach more than I. Can teach more than a lot of us here was on the school teachers. But they are sitting down. He said, no, now I have read this book. When I read it at home, this guy is supposed to break it. He did not put that statement the way he's supposed to put it. If he has put it like the people would have understood it better. But even during the class, they say, hey, brother, can you read that verse for us? He said, I'm not with my Bible. God will hold you what? He will hold you. Not only those that misuse the talent that will give account. Those that did not use the talent will also give account. You that you have been coming to church. You have been in TCRC for decades now. But you have not joined even one unit. Sanctuary, I know they. Ushering unit, I know they. Choir, I know they. Bible education unit, I know they. Even come for men fellowship, I know they come. What about sisters? I know they. Youth fellowship, I know they come. Don't worry. God will also hold you what? Accountable. He will hold you accountable. Stewards of the mysteries of God. So every steward must have this understanding that a day of accountability is come. Matthew chapter 25, if you go home, read from verse 24. Or rather from verse 14 to 30, so that you get the whole story. From verse 14 to 30, but give us verse 19. Give us verse 19. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Look at somebody by your side. Say, one day, Jesus will come. He will settle accounts with the business he has given to you. One day, as I round up, I want to give us five resources that God has given everybody. I will not say anything on it more. We'll build those ones, one after the other. Other people will also minister on them as God gives them grace too. Five resources everybody has been given. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter your color, no matter your strength, no matter your social status, God has given every one of us these five resources. Number one, resource that God wants us to steward is your temple. Everybody say temple. Say temple. Temple. Say it very well. Temple. Temple. In bracket, right there, what? My body. That's the first thing God wants you to steward. That's the first thing. You can put it up for us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 to 20. Our bodies belongs to God and he wants us to steward them for him. He wants us to manage our body for him. So one day we'll be talking on stewardship of the body. Stewardship of the body. So that's the first resource God has given to every man. To manage your body, manage yourself. The second resource is time. It's time. It's time. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 to 16. Time. Stewardship of time. Stewardship of time. Ephesians 5. 15 to 16. They're redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Stewardship of time. That time you feel is yours. It doesn't belong to you. God gave it to you. You are wasting it on things that do not bring glory to Him. One day you'll give account of that time. God lives in eternity. He has placed man in time so that man can do what? Harness what God has given to him as a steward. And one day he will go back to the owner to give account of what he did with the time. When we'll be dealing with that, you will know that life and time, time rather, is a measure of life. It's a measure of life. Time is also a measure of money. What are you paying MTN for? What do you call that thing you buy? So if God were to measure, ask you to pay for the time He has given you, bro, you know how much you don't owe. You know? If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Number three is talent. That's another thing God has given us. Talents have to do with gifting, spiritual gifts, abilities, skills. All those ones fall under talents. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. They fall under talent. That's another resource that God has given to us to steward. Talents. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. And each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Minister it to one another. And number four, treasure. Treasure. Treasure has to do with resources, money, your silver, your gold, your houses, your lands, your cars. There are people, if church has a program now, they say, hey, bro, Jay, can you give us that your car? We want to use it to go and do a visitation in one community. Say, no. My car. No, I can't stop in my car for that. All belongs to God. Proverbs 3 verse 9, the Bible says we should worship God with our substances and the best part of our increase. Proverbs 3 verse 9. And finally, this morning, your relationship. Your relationships. Steward your relationships. Steward them. Everybody God brings into your life is so that you will manage them for His glory. Steward them. How can a lot of people pass through you and none of them are heard from your mouth that Jesus loves you? Let me not go into that. I just want to show us them one after the other. This. Give us Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 as we conclude this morning. If you are blessed this morning, say amen.
Amen.
You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. KJV. You see, you almost got me confused. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and for Thy pleasure they are created. You are created to give God pleasure. Our purpose-driven life. Every one of us, everything on earth was created to bring God pleasure. And I will wrap it up by asking you a question. As a steward, are you bringing pleasure to your owner, or you are bringing pain to his heart? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory,
honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasures they are.
One more time, sing, Thou art worthy.
me, Lord.
Let's sing it together, church.
Worthy, O Lord.
Worthy, O Lord.